Welcome to VMN Volume 3, Episode 17. The date is July 21st, 2023. VMN is produced and transmitted from unceded Abenaki territory of so-called Vermont. This episode contains a recording of CCTV interview of Marina Brown regarding VT leaks. This is the recording from CCTV. The recording will be presented in whole as it was. Host Megan O'Rourke interviews Marina Brown about VT leaks, Vermont transparency and accountability. For more information, visit www.vtleaks.org. Production date, May 19, 2023. Worker, Jordan Mitchell. Related issues, economy and business. Related tags, accountability, documentation, free speech, leak. Creative Commons licensed on the CCTV website and on YouTube. Attribution non-commercial, share alike 4.0 international.
Welcome to Town Meeting Television. I'm here today with Marina Brown, and we're going to talk about vtleaks.org, but a little bit. This is not the first time you've been in the studio.
No.
You've been here before, and you want to just tell us what your history is with what's brought you here?
I stood for office three times with Liberty Union, and I was at this studio at least once for each of those campaigns, though it all bleeds together. I believe I was in the audience in 87 or 88, but when Herb Lewin ran for president, but I don't rightly remember. It's just a blurry past.
Yeah. And you ran for lieutenant governor and auditor?
Lieutenant governor and then auditor twice.
Yeah. And so you're likely in the archives here somewhere in that past. The Liberty Union Party, of course, is the party that Bernie Sanders started in and stands for. Just like a quick rundown.
It was not started by Bernie Sanders.
Oh, I know, but he first ran as a Liberty Union.
Yes, he was one of the early members. It's Vermont's socialist party. It was, it's an anti-war party. It's the sister party to the Peace and Freedom Party in California. It's been, to a great extent, Liberty Union is what opened up the ballot access in Vermont to third parties and, to some extent, even the Democratic Party.
Mm-hmm. Interesting. I didn't realize it was a Vermont-only party.
That's correct. It's Vermont-only, though you could say that the Peace and Freedom Party was almost the same party, but it's not.
Yeah.
That's California.
Yeah. And what brings you, I mean, what inspired you to get involved in that? What's your...
Well, in 87, 88, I was on Church Street getting signatures to get Herb Lewin on the ballot. And I came back to Vermont in 2011 and shambled down Western Avenue in Brattleboro and talked to Peter Diamondstone again, and he looped me into being involved again.
And this is because you believe in...
Yes, I'm a socialist.
And
socialist. I'm sort of at the edge of socialist and anarchist, but that's where I stand.
So you believe in a better world. It's possible.
I believe in a world where the resources should be shared equitably, not controlled for the profits of the few. And there's many ideologies that agree with that.
Yeah. Great. Thanks. So just a little bit about who you are. I mean, you reached out to us recently to ask for the CCTV board meeting minutes to add to vtleaks.org. And I was kind of curious about that, so I asked you to come in and do a show, and maybe we'll bring up, I don't have the TV on here, but we're going to bring up the website so we can take a look at it. Tell us, what is vtleaks.org?
Well, when I came to Vermont, I was a little bit shocked by the lack of transparency. And what vtleaks was designed to do was to push for more transparency in Vermont. There's lots of cutouts in the public records law, and many little towns are not even transparent to the extent that the law requires them to be, and that's what VT Leaks was about. I had set up infrastructure to allow for people to anonymously submit leaks after having that up for a few years and no one using it. Now it's just public records requests, and I requested your board minutes because I was curious, how does CCTV work? I mean, I've been there, but I don't know how it works. So I asked you for the minutes to post, and that's what we do. The latest leaks were, latest public records requests I did were to 3 school districts regarding COVID policies. And how are people getting fired because they got sick? I didn't know because I was hearing stories of teachers and people working at the schools being very sick all the time with respiratory stuff, COVID or not. And it's like, wait a second, this doesn't sound right. So I submitted public records requests to St. Johnsbury School, the Orleans School District, the North and South one, and Canaan. As of yet, only the St. Johnsbury School District has fully complied to my request. I expect, in all fairness to North Country Supervisory Union, I expect that their documents are in my mailbox when I get back home. No. So I won't go after them, but Lake County School Supervisory Union and Canaan, they have not responded to me, so they will be getting certified letters. And if they don't respond to the certified letters, then, well, I'm going to have to find a lawyer.
Well, we have an idea of a robust government infrastructure that is built to take care of people. I mean, sort of a liberal notion that we have this infrastructure. And so, you know, certainly I will admit, like, when I get a request and I'm like, well, why would this need to be?
Well, it was posted, and so I asked for it. And now you kind of committed that you're going to be posting it to your website from there on, and it'll be great.
Yeah. So that I call these folks like civic heroes, folks that are working at the margins of political infrastructures. Do you see yourself as sort of a civic hero in developing this website?
I see myself as an annoyance. Uh-huh. I'm going to fail at my goal, but I was hoping to be the most prolific public records requester in Vermont, but I'm not going to make that this year.
Who do you think is? Who's got you?
Well, I won't mention names, but there's a person in Burlington who hits the police departments and who is renowned for them. I think he has me beat. I asked him to be on the VT Leaks team, but he was not interested.
Oh, he does it independently.
He does it independently.
Yeah. Does he post those?
Mostly the stuff that he does is at muckrake.org, which is another. It's Muckrake is infrastructure for people to do leaks. I probably should use it, but I'm used to doing my requests independently on my own.
Now, VT Leaks is reminiscent of WikiLeaks.
That's the inspiration.
So talk a little bit for folks who don't know what WikiLeaks
is. Well, WikiLeaks was a hackers cooperative that I would say it went wrong in the last few years. But what it would do is it would accept leaks from public, from the hackers groups, from whistleblowers, and supposedly anonymize it so that people could read stuff. I mean, Chelsea Manning released the Cablegate to WikiLeaks. The successor organization to WikiLeaks is called DDO Secrets, which is run by a fantastic team of many of the people that were thrown to the wayside by WikiLeaks. I don't know if people really know. The founder of WikiLeaks seems to, Julian Assange seems to have taken some of a right-wing turn in the last few years, and the way he ran WikiLeaks alienated a lot of people.
Now, also being outside the government sort of outside the infrastructure, like the recognized known infrastructure. Do you have accountability structures? Do you have?
We had intended on doing that, but as I wasn't able to gather many people, it's been just me until about a month ago. We've worked with Robert Appel. He's helped, but he didn't join the organization. We have some local activists who probably don't want to be named who've decided to join, and hopefully I can step away from this project at some point and let them do it.
And do you have, so if we look at it, Jordan, I don't know if we can bring that up on the TV out here, and sort of get a sense of what these, what's on vtleaks.org, and where do you get, without, again, naming names, where do you get sources?
Well, click on the documents obtained. That's the interesting part of the website, really. In the beginning, we were posting every bit of money that went in, but as right now, the only interesting part would be me paying the domain registration every 1 to 3 years.
Yeah, so here we have Anderson Farm.
Yeah, the Andersonville Farm was a very interesting public records request because the Vermont State Police ignored me, and they stonewalled me at every turn. The first documents they sent me were almost entirely blacked out, and the Andersonville Farm incident was out near between Glover and Craftsbury, and it involved Nazi graffiti on a barn, and there was racist graffiti put on the road in front of people's houses. That actually wasn't covered in the police reports, but because this was targeted racist harassment, I wanted to know about that. And the police would not release information until I got Robert Appel to, I think he actually wrote them a letter. I'm not sure if it was a CC or something like that. But it took a long time to get the reports. And even the final report I got was highly redacted. And I don't know why. Yeah. I'm assuming they think it was minors that did the racist graffiti. But I don't really think it's a great idea to
protect?
I don't think if young people are involved with racist activities, I think there's a line where we don't protect them. Mm-hmm. I've worked with a number of anti-fascist collectives, and when they protect young people because they might change their minds, but when people get to a certain level, I don't think they should be protected. Like there was an incident, I think it was a group called The Base, and they were organized by a 14-year-old out of Finland, I believe, and a friend of mine exposed them, and they did expose their identities, because The Base is such a violent group.
Mm-hmm. So it seems like part of the motivation is a sort of general protection of those who are in a vulnerable position.
Yeah. I mean, there was an incident of a gay bashing. I think it happened in Underhill or Jericho. That's also on the site, and that was one of the times that I was happily surprised by the state police because they could not give me the full unredacted report quickly enough. I mean, they didn't even redact the victim of the gay bashing's name, and I had to spend the time redacting the victim's name because I'm not going to release the name of a gay bashing victim.
Yeah.
But I was happy to release the name of the suspect.
Uh-huh.
Very happy.
Yeah. So, I mean, what do you think the resistance is? Why?
I don't know. What I've noticed is that the racist events that happened before Trump was elected out in the Northeast Kingdom, I had terrible problems getting reports, police reports regarding those. They're very resistant. I don't know. I have my suspicions, but whether it was minors, whether possibly somebody the police knew was involved, but I don't know. I'm not going to...
I mean, when you reached out to me, I'm like, yes, excellent. Because one, I appreciate the ability to examine our practices. And I think you know that I said, oh, I got to go back and check and make sure I don't have editable links to information that shouldn't be in the minutes, right? So there's making sure that our practices going forward and are consistent with open meeting law as we should be. And certainly want to have, we're open and, want folks to be able to understand what's going on here. There is that, the suspicion of, again, I said, something that's extra governmental, that's outside the systems of power that make people uncomfortable or, what's behind this? And then there's the resistance that makes you wonder, is there some sort of collusion? So I just wonder if you've run into those two different kinds of...
I haven't run into people being suspicious of someone external. Mostly it's, oh, great, you've given us a whole lot of work to do. Mm-hmm. And I try to be nice to people, even organizations I'm not fans of the prison systems or not a big fan of the police, but I try to be polite to the poor person whose job is to go through tons and tons of documents for my releases. One thing I did want to mention of an interesting leak that I did not do is there's a group called the American Academy of Pediatricians, mm-hmm. which is a, forgive me if I'm getting it wrong, but it's a right-wing group that's counter to the mainstream American College of Pediatricians.
Mm, okay.
It's a right-wing group that focuses on anti-gay, anti-trans, pro-family narrative, and they had all their documents on an open Google Drive, and everything was dumped there, including their QuickBooks, including their membership lists.
Oh.
So since some organization I requested earlier had to ask me to redact documents, maybe you don't want to be falling in the same pitfall as they did. Not that I would put CCTV in the same category, but a lot.
And so when you see that, is that a chance to you're like, let's pull all those documents?
Yeah, I look at it, and I was one of the interesting things about the ACPED leak is that ADP payroll, which has a policy against hate, provides this SPLC designated hate group as a client. I'm sure that ADP
folks who don't know, SPLC is the Southern Poverty Law Center, and they track hate groups and hate crimes and hate organizations around the country.
Yes, and ADP, which is one of the world's largest payroll companies, was providing payroll services for an SPLC-designated hate group.
Great, interesting. So there's and tell us a little bit there in terms of the goals that you're trying to speak a little bit more about what you're trying to do.
What I do is if I see something that doesn't smell right, I do a lot of, I hit the police a lot about hate groups, about hate crimes. The Burlington Police Department has heard about me repeatedly about Patriot Front, who's annoying Nazi group who has a member in Enosburg Falls who recently got arrested for carrying a torch at Charlottesville. Mm-hmm. I've requested them information about that. The anti-trans hate group, the LGB Alliance, that caused a good deal of consternation around Pride and the outright truck pull. I
Are these the folks, the stickering folks?
Yeah, they're the people who lettering up the phone post all over the place.
Uh-huh.
I did some public records requests regarding the supposed assault on Fred Sargent, and that if you want to hear the unredacted police, very slightly redacted by the police reports, they're on.
You can go to vtleaks.org and see those there. And maybe this is getting in the technicalities of this, but is this backed up to someplace like Internet Archives? Or?
It's backed up locally, and yeah. I probably should go to Internet Archive to do it. When I get home, I'll tell Internet Archive to back it up.
Yeah.
Most of the website is actually backed up on GitHub, but since I've been getting very large media, I have not been able to back all that up on GitHub.
Yeah. So in the realm, we've been having, you mentioned the anti-trans groups and the LGB group that was doing the stickering work. There was recently a show here with some folks who came in mm-hmm. from that organization and mm-hmm. spoke, and it generated a big conversation here around free speech and, you know, what is this organization supporting when we give a voice to folks that are speaking hateful or untrue or hurtful, sort of in that realm of speech.
Well, I'll be honest, that it was that controversy that generated the request that I sent to you, because I was saying, how do things work? How do things work at CCDV? I want to see the discussion about platforming this type of a group. I sound like a broken record when I deal with free speech. I stand very strongly for free speech. However, there are limits. The International Criminal Tribunal on Rwanda prosecuted a radio station for fomenting the Rwandan genocide. And the case, the Radio Rwanda case, even examined Ohio versus Brandenburg versus Ohio.
Okay.
Brandenburg versus Ohio was when a Klansman was arrested for violent speech.
Yeah.
And the ICTR said in their discussion that even Brandenburg is moot on what constitutes inciting imminent violence. Does it mean tomorrow? Brandenburg doesn't say. Does it mean if I put this out in a month, there's going to be violence? In a year? In 10 years? Brandenburg doesn't talk about that.
Yeah.
The Radio Rwanda case has not been used as a precedent very much, but it still stands in international law. And I would propose that the anti-trans speech that is being put out nowadays steps over that line, in that you see the legal definition of genocide does not include gender identity. However, it should. The Holocaust Museum says, yes, this movement against trans people is genocidal. So I will take them at their word rather than the antiquated legal definitions of genocide. And I would posit that most of the anti-trans speech that you will see, like the stuff at CPAC, the stuff that Matt Walsh did saying...
CPAC, tell me what CPAC is.
CPAC is the Conservative Political Action Committee.
Yep, yep.
And one of the people at this committee said we have to eradicate transgenderism.
Yep.
He took a step back and said, no, we just mean transgenderism. We don't mean transgender people.
Mm-hmm.
But they're clearly working with governments like the Viktor Orban in Hungary, which has essentially waged war on LGBT people, not just trans people. And I'm curious about Mr. Felker, how he can separate what's happening in Hungary and Poland to gay people as well as trans people when he aligns himself with these anti-gender ideology people that will come for him in the future.
Yeah, yeah. So that's interesting, and it's thanks for sharing that, because as our staff is talking about that, and those aren't part of the board minutes because we don't keep track of our staff minutes in that same open meeting law way. As our staff wrestles with that, I think we'll start to see that in some of our policy conversations going forward.
Yeah, take the time. It's very hard to find the ICTR decision and discussion, but if you find it, it's worth noting. And I'll see if I can find it, and I'll post a copy to VT Leaks and send you a link.
Yeah, we've long been, you know, the organization here has long held the idea that, you know, you counter bad speech with more speech. And I think folks are wondering, you know, what are the limits on that? If speech infringes on freedoms of others, or speech infringes on the well-being of others, is that still free speech?
I mean, the United States is an outlier in its ideas of free speech.
Mm-hmm.
Please don't make me out to be a supporter of the right-wing government in Poland, but I'll use Poland as an example. Poland has had a long history of religious wars and religious intolerance causing death and destruction, and there are limits on stepping on religion. I don't really approve of that, but I understand why Poland would say, no, we don't have public stuff that will lead to bloodshed. Likewise, in France with Charlie Hebdo, it was terrible what happened to those magazine people. But do you allow people to step on other people's religion to the extent that they're going to commit violence? I think there needs to be a more nuanced discussion of speech, and I'm a big supporter of very open stuff, but I do not want to see people getting hurt.
Yep.
And when people are using speech not to honestly discuss a topic, but to further harm against other people, I think that's where you draw the line.
Yep. That's really helpful for us to think about, and I look forward to sharing your words with staff as well. Back to vtleaks.org. I'm not sure if there's anything more that you want to point out.
Well, look at the, I don't have it in front of me, so it's hard for me to do it. I don't have a good memory. Oh, there we go.
Yeah,
the Mark Clark, that was the gay bashing thing, Patriot Front.
Yeah. So,
and then the Essex High School Gender Queer Book Challenge. Here's an example of where VT Leaks gets pretty nasty.
Mm.
If somebody could click on the book challenge part. What I did is I heard about the debate about having...
If you could click on the book challenge there where it says Essex High School, you click on that window and then just click on... Yeah, there you
yes.
go.
Yes. So the principal of the high school seemed very upset when I hit her with this public records request. But when it was clear I was on the high school side about keeping books published, she gave a whole lot of information. What was interesting is that the two different parties had reported the school for having this teen sexuality, genderqueer book, Maya Kobabe's book, in the library. One of them, I don't even know if he's an Essex resident,
yeah.
But there was the one of them obviously was.
Yeah.
And when I dug into it, apparently the police had been notified. So I hit the Essex police. The police refused to give me the full information because they said they were protecting their source.
Uh-huh.
But in one of the leaks, there was conversation between the Essex Police Department and Sarah George's office. And I hit Sarah George's office, who... She promptly gave me everything.
Yeah.
She didn't give me the name of the person. However, there's something called metadata. And in the metadata of the PDF that was created to call the police on a book was the name of the person who did the leak. I'm not going to release that name on CCTV, however, go to vtleaks.org. It's in the metadata, and I've stripped the metadata for you. Likewise with leaks, if people are trying to leak information and not have their identity released by leaking that, it's very important to strip the metadata, which are anti-LGBT complainant did not do. So that's VT Leaks getting nasty because I posted his name. The metadata, I stripped it. It's there.
So, Marina, thanks for coming in today. Appreciate you sharing with us what you're doing and what you're up to. And hopefully we'll see you again and hear more from you in the future. And
very
for
good.
Those who are at home watching, thank you for watching. And remember, you don't need to just watch TV. You can come and join us and make your own TV. So if you have something that you want to say or something you want to add to the conversation, we welcome you to contact us at maketv@cctv.org. Thanks so much, and we're out.
This was VMN Volume 3, Episode 17. VMN was formerly known as Vermont Movement News and can be found on podcast apps as Vermont Movement News.